Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. You are listening to LombardiAd.com's The Packers Sports Panel Show here on Blog Talk Radio, where for the next 30 minutes, we will be talking about everything Green Bay Packers for as much as our time allows. Hello, everybody. I'm your host, Davey Miller, and welcome once again. Joining me on the sports panel this morning are fellow staff writers Patrick Hughes and our producer, Ray Rivard. And then we have a special guest, Doug Eaton from fansided.com. So welcome, gentlemen, to the show, and we might as well get right down to it. Ray, let me start out with you. With the signing of Matt Flynn, what can we expect? This is a two-part question. With the signing of Matt Flynn, does Scott Tolzien have to play well this week in order to hold his job the following Sunday, or what can we expect from Tolzien against the Giants? Go ahead, Ray.
Well, good morning. First of all, as opposed to Doug Eaton, who's a friend of mine, we've been kind of going back and forth on this past week. I'm really high on Scott Tolzien, and he impressed me a lot. He came into that game last Sunday cold, pretty much off the practice squad, and he completed 24 or 39 passes. Who knew that he was going to come in and throw 39 passes off the bench in that game? So I'm pretty high on him. Does he have to play well on Sunday? I think he does, just as anybody else would. However, I think Mike McCarthy is pretty high on Scott Tolzien. I don't think he's going to get the hook out anytime real quick. You saw last Sunday, of course, he didn't have anybody else to go to, and he threw two picks, but he didn't pull him from that game. So I think he'll stick with him, even with a Packers win or a Packers loss. I think he'll stick with him because that's the way Mark McCarthy is. He's pretty dedicated to his players, and I think he's just going to stick with him. So yeah, number one, he's got to play well. Of course, we want him to play well. We want Packers to win. Secondly, I think that Mike McCarthy will stick with him, and he'll play both Sunday and against the Vikings the following week.
Okay, and then Doug, welcome to the show. We're certainly glad to have you from fansided.com. Let me kind of stay at that quarterback position. Do you think signing Matt Flynn was the best option out there for the Packers? I know they reportedly was working out John Skeleton as well. Of course, Mike McCarthy knows Flynn like the back of his hand, and Flynn knows the offense. Most of Packer Nation agreed that it was a good signing. What's your thoughts on that, Doug?
Well, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me, Davey. It's a pleasure to be here with both you guys talking some Packers football today. So a little change of pace off my Badgers beat, but like Ray said, we've been kind of going back and forth about this Matt Flynn thing kind of all week, and I understand completely where Ray's coming from on his points. You know, for Scott Tolzien, he's been the model of consistency, I think, at that quarterback position throughout his career. Never really been that model of excellency that we've seen with Aaron Rodgers. You know, and I think sometimes we lose a little bit of perspective when we put that position into the whole realm of things that we've been watching one of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history the last few years here in Aaron Rodgers. Now you got a guy that comes in off the practice squad, and maybe our expectations were a little bit too high. You know, he comes out, and like Ray says, he throws a lot of passes in his first game, completes for a high percentage in his first game, and it's kind of what Scott Tolzien has been. So, yes, you know, Do we think he's going to play well? Yeah, he'll play well. But the signing of Matt Flynn, I think what that really does is that puts that little bit of inkling in our minds that the Green Bay Packers organization is not sure of what they're going to get this week with Scott Tolzien. Now, we've seen it in the past. He's played well in the past. He played well last weekend. But you still have that question in the back of your mind. And with a guy like Matt Flynn, who, like I told Ray this week, he's proven himself for the Green Bay Packers a few times. He's paid his dues with the Green Bay Packers, sitting behind Aaron Rodgers for 4 years, learning the system, you know, working his way through the practices, putting his time in the film room. And, you know, you have to give that some validity at some point and say, you know what, Matt Flynn could be the guy who, if Scott Tolzien doesn't play well, is a simple switch. And I think that we'd all be kind of just ignorant if we didn't have that in the back of our minds saying, you know what, Scott Tolzien, if he comes out and doesn't play well, he's a game manager. He's not going to come out, I don't think, and do anything flashy. He's not going to make those huge mistakes, although we did see an interception down the goal line last weekend. But, you know, I really got to think that the signing of Matt Flynn is probably one of those you-had-to-do-it type of reactions from the front office that says, we understand what our fan base wants. We understand what we have in Matt Flynn. We need to go out and do this because it's kind of a no-brainer.
Well, it certainly gives Packer Nation kind of a comfort, a sense of comfort, if you will, knowing that Matt Flynn is back. Yeah, he's gone through three teams in the last 18 months or so, unable to beat basically everybody out that they put in front of him. He did have a sore elbow. His work ethic came into play, supposedly, while he was with the Raiders. He reports out of Raider Nation was that he was a 9-to-5 quarterback, and the organization didn't care for that. So maybe now that he's back in Green Bay, he seems to really be glad to be back based on his interview after practice yesterday. So I think it's a good fit as well. Yeah, there's other quarterbacks out there, but nobody knows that system apart from Aaron Rodgers as well as Matt Flynn, and I'm in total agreement with that as well. Now, we also have another newcomer to the Packers Sports panel this morning. We have Patrick Hughes. He's a fellow staff writer at LombardiAb.com as well. And, Patrick, let me throw a defensive question out to you. We've been talking about the offense up to this point. With the Packers signing a veteran quarterback, what about the idea of signing a veteran safety such as Ed Reed? What's your thoughts on that, Patrick?
You know, it's an interesting thing to talk about. Ed Reed coming to the Packers, he's obviously got a storied career with Baltimore, went down to Houston, things didn't work out so well. You know, one could argue that he still has a little bit left in the tank. He'd come pretty cheap, and I think he has something like if he'd signed with the Packers this week, he'd come in with $1 million base and then 62.5K every week that he's active. But he comes with some baggage. You know, he called out the Houston coaching staff this past week, and I think that probably led to his dismissal. And I think if the Packers really wanted to keep a veteran in that secondary, they would have kept Charles Woodson around. I mean, he's obviously showing that he's got a little bit left in the tank out in Raider Nation. So I think bringing Ed Reed in would be kind of disruptive. He was in a situation in Baltimore where he was clearly, you know, a leader, coming into a Packer locker room where he really wouldn't have that voice right out of the gate. I think what the Packers really need is MD Jennings to step up and play football, Chris Banjo when he gets his opportunities to make the most of them, and you know, they just brought Sean Richardson into practice this week, so maybe he's got something. When the Packers really need to address the safety position, I think, is in the 2014 draft, first couple of rounds. But until then, I think we got to make the best of what we have.
Mm-hmm. And certainly we'll be talking more about the draft come April, but obviously a couple of needs right off the bat for the Packers is another quarterback, hopefully a high-round quarterback, because you can see how
exposed they were this year. Six days prior to the regular season, they had one quarterback on the roster before they signed Seneca Wallace. That's totally unacceptable for Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy, who are supposed to be quarterback gurus. They had nobody in the cupboard, nobody on the practice squad. Zippo, they signed Scott Tolzien shortly afterwards, and that seems to be a good signing, but very disappointed that the Packers have not got a young quarterback in the stables that they had been training for the last year or so. Also, backup center, you can see we're exposed there as well. So safety's not the only priority in the draft. We need to start grooming a quarterback. We need a backup center, and certainly safety is another issue, but we don't want to talk too much about the draft right now. Ray Ray, in regards to our Big Bang Theory, Eddie Lacy, are we running him into the ground too much this season? And if we continue that, is he going to have anything left come the end of the season if the Packers were to make the playoffs? Or do you like the fact that we're feeding him 25, 30 times a game? What's your thoughts on that, Big Ray?
I think that, you know, they're feeding him a little too much. I can see him right around the 20 carry mark per game. Every time he goes down, I just kind of wince a little bit and wonder if the guy's going to get up, because he's usually has like three or four guys hanging on him and twisting him around, and you know, you just never know what's happening at the bottom of that pile. So yeah, I worry a little bit about the number of carries he has, and just the way he runs. He's just such a violent runner that you know, eventually something's going to happen, and you know, if you give him fewer carries, you know, of course the chances of those types of things happening go down. I'd like to see them bring in James Starks. You know, I think he offers a whole heck of a lot to the offense. I'd like to see them utilize him a little more. I'd also like to see them, you know, get back to using Franklin. You know, I know they shied away from him when he fumbled a couple times there early in the season, but I think, you know, if they get the ball to that guy in space, he's a shifty runner. He can make people miss. So I think if they use a little more of those two guys and a little less of Eddie Lacy, you know, we'll be in the driver's seat as far as the running game goes. And then when Rodgers comes back, of course, you know, you got that that whole run-pass mix that the Packers are really – they look to be getting more comfortable in mixing up their play calling. And so I'm hoping that they use a little less Lacy, a little more Starks, a little more Franklin in the future.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what, in regards to Jonathan Franklin, yeah, he did fumble a couple of times early on. Actually, Lacy fumbled a couple of times too and lost one. But I think the biggest problem to get Jonathan Franklin on the field as a running back, not on special teams, but as a running back, is he probably is a third down back, and Eddie Lacy is a three down back. So,
right.
You know, he's not in competition for the first and second downs, but on third down, Eddie Lacy does such a good job of either blocking or running it that there's no need to slow the offense down and make a substitution, especially when the Packers are wanting to play fast. Now, how fast are they going to play with Tolzien under center this Sunday? That remains to be seen. Doug, I got a question for you. With Aaron Rodgers out, how are the defenses going to start playing Green Bay differently as opposed to the first half of the season when Rodgers was back there? Go ahead, Doug.
Well, you know, I think your biggest change, and I think what we saw already in the game against Chicago when Rodgers got hurt in the first place, was, you know, you're going to have these quarterbacks. I think they're not so intimidated that this quarterback behind the Green Bay Packers offensive line is going to make these outstanding throws. I think you're going to see a lot more bump and run coverage with these guys to throw off that timing, because inevitably, when you got a guy back there who's not comfortable going through his progressions like Aaron Rodgers, you throw that timing off and immediately you put a little bit of anxiety in that quarterback's head when he turns and he doesn't see what he thinks he should be seeing. You know, you saw it with Seneca Wallace in that game against Chicago, where a lot of times when he turned to his primary receiver, didn't find him open, it was panic. And granted, a lot of that was because of the offensive line not giving the protection that we needed for him, but, you know, he turned around, tucked tails, and ran a lot of times, where typically you'd see Aaron Rodgers either hang into the pocket for a couple more seconds and go through his second progression, or step up in the pocket and, you know, move around, buy some time, and get to that check down receiver, which, you know, I think we have to do this weekend if we're going to be successful at all. And, you know, our receivers have not been exactly the healthiest of all the receiving corps that we've had in the past. So you throw that into the loop, you got a new guy at quarterback. You know, I just think that if you're a defense coming in and you're playing against the Green Bay Packers, you'd be foolish to just sit back and let a quarterback that's not comfortable have the time to throw the football. You got to get some pressure, and you got to play bump and run on the outside. And I think that's probably the model that you'll see from the New York Giants this weekend.
Yeah, I think you got a lot of valid points there as well. And obviously, knowing Tom Coughlin, he's going to also try to stop that run first. And if you stop Eddie Lacy and Aaron Rodgers hitting back there to pick you apart, now you can tee off on that quarterback, as you mentioned, and kind of disrupt his rhythm, shake him up a little bit, and see how the young kid comes about. And now, Patrick, Doug mentioned something, and let me make this point with you, and you can share your thoughts. I'll tell you what, that offensive line is in a state of flux right now because we don't know who's going to be available this Sunday or not. The left side has been solid all year with Josh Sitton and rookie David Bakhtiari just playing really above his first year in the league. But from center all the way to the right side, what's going to happen this Sunday? Do you have any insights or any thoughts on who's going to be where playing on that right side Sunday?
Yeah, it really could be anybody's guess. I mean, last week we had T.J. Lang slide over to the center position. I don't know if he's played just a few snaps from what I understand at center prior to Sunday. Newhouse came in at right tackle, and came in at right tackle, and you know he hasn't really looked that great. I know he started a lot in the last couple of years, but he's given up a few sacks. And then you have Barclay moving over to right guard in place of Lang, and then he goes down, and in comes Lane Taylor. So this week, I think we really got to hope that that Barclay can get in there. I know they fitted him for a knee brace, and it sounds like he is aiming to go. EDS, he sounds like he's going to be back at the center position. Got a sprained knee, so going into the game, at least you have your starters intact. How healthy are they? I don't know, and you got to think that the Giants are gonna go after him and test him, especially with an inexperienced quarterback back there.
I am really down on Marshall Newhouse, as I'm sure all of Packer Nation is. Sometimes I just scratch my head and say, why in the world is he even on an NFL roster? He just looked so out of sorts Sunday, and he looked all out of sorts last year as well. He just doesn't seem to have the mental tenacity to be mean and nasty on that offensive line. Yeah, he's got good feet, and he's got the prototypical size that you want at tackle, but I don't know. There's something lacking there, and I don't know if it's talent or an intangible, but he doesn't have the feistiness, that's for sure. And I don't know. I just wish that we could figure out a way to replace him on that right side, because he's been a major disappointment in the couple of times that he has had to play this year.
Well,
Ray, getting back to the defense,
You got any insights on Casey Haywood? What's going on with Casey Haywood, Ray Ray?
I think that Casey Haywood is going to be. I think they're going to. I think eventually he's going to be out for the year. The re-injury that he had on Sunday doesn't bode well for the future, mainly because, you know, he was out probably a month in training camp. He came back, played in the game, injured it, and then was out for another 6 weeks. If it's as severe as it was the first couple times, I think that the Packers will probably, you know, put him on IR, sit him down for the rest of the year. I hate to say it. I like the guy. But I think you and I and everybody here, after watching him, when he did come back, he wasn't the same type of player that he was last year. He was missing tackles. He seemed tentative out there. You know, I think they're gonna eventually just gonna have to sit him down and hope for better things come 2014. I hate to say it, he's one of my favorite players last year as he was everybody else, but I just don't see him. You know, it would surprise me if the Packers, given their history of being so conservative with players and injuries, it would surprise me that they would push him to get him back on the field, especially in light of the way that Micah Hyde has been playing. I think he's done for the year.
You are listening to Blog Talk Radio and LombardiAv.com, the sports panel. We are talking about everything Green Bay Packers, and we're with Doug Eaton now from Fansided.com. And Doug, why don't you give us your outlook on the NFC picture moving forward, not just about the Packers, but who are the teams to beat other than maybe Seattle and New Orleans? What's your thoughts on that NFC picture, Doug?
Well, you know, I think the team that everybody's looking at here in the last few weeks has to be the Carolina Panthers. You know, the way that they've been playing football late, Cam Newton finally coming along this season, looking like the quarterback that most people thought he was going to be coming into the season. You know, they started off really slow. You know, they've got some running game now with Jonathan Stewart back behind him as a secondary running back. And that win they had out in San Francisco last week, you know, a gritted out, tough, hard-nosed 10-9 win. You know, I think a lot of people in the NFC now are looking at the Carolina Panthers as one of those teams that matches up well against a Seattle, you know, against a San Francisco, should they meet again. You know, from the NFC North, of course, you have to give some kudos to what's going on in Detroit. You know, regardless of what people might think of their head coach and some of the idiotic things that go on over there, they have the best offensive weapon in the NFL right now in Calvin Johnson. To think that they can't make a playoff run with an offense that they've got. Reggie Bush, I tell you what, people had a lot of questions about this kid when he came over to Detroit, but he's really fallen into a really nice spot with this team. You know, you've got another power back behind Matthew Stafford with Jacoby Bell, somebody who can catch the ball out of the backfield just as well as any big man. You know, I think if you're going to look at two teams that maybe surprise you out of the NFC, it has to be Carolina, and the other one I think has to be Detroit. You know, but then again, you take a look at the team that we're facing this weekend and how poor that NFC East is again this year. You know, you hate to turn your back on Tom Coughlin. And as cliche as that has become in the last few seasons, we've witnessed it firsthand. You know, this team, if they win this weekend, this is a big game for this New York Giants team with Green Bay coming in this weekend. And you got to think that out there, out east, they're licking their chops because we're coming in battered, we're bruised, we're without our best player, quarterback, of course. You know, I really think that out of the NFC East, you got to give the New York Giants a little bit of credibility right now because, let's just face it, nobody out there is playing good football.
Yeah, that's true, and I'll tell you what. Talk about the watered-down NFC East. The Giants are 3-6, and they're one game out of the loss column from being tied for first place because Dallas sits atop at 5-5, and you can never make up a loss. So you just look at the loss column, and the Giants are one game out. Yeah, there's a half a dozen tiebreakers they'd have to jump through, but the fact of the matter is their playoff hopes are still alive. So come Sunday, we certainly can expect their full attention, just like the Eagles came in with a playoff fighting for playoff berth. So we're going to expect that same tenacity out of the Giants. And as you mentioned, I don't put anything past Tom Coughlin. So definitely got to go in there with much respect, although we are bruised and battered and beaten to a pulp. Okay, fellas, we're winding down in the show. I'm going to give each of you a minute and try to keep it to about a minute. I want your predictions for this Sunday. I want your scores, and I want you to tell me how you think the game's going to play out. Ray Ray, I'm going to start with you, then I'm going to go with Patrick, and then I'm going to finish off with Doug. So, Ray Ray, give me about a minute. Tell me your thoughts and predictions for the game on Sunday.
Well, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot, and I'm going to start out right away by telling you that I think the Packers are going to lose this weekend. It's going to be a close game. I think the Giants come out and they win 20-17. Now, the reasons why, of course, start with Packers. Like you said, Davey, they're beat up. They don't have their best player. They're going to rely on their running game. And it's not going to be enough. I hate to say it because, of course, all you guys know that I'm a homer, but I'm going with the Giants. Another reason, the offensive line with the Packers is really in flux. They're injured. They're moving guys around. They're going to have a tough time gelling this weekend against, even though the Giants do have some injuries themselves, I think they are still one of the premier pass-rushing teams in the league and stuffing teams in the league. So coupled with the fact that the Packers have their third-string quarterback in, their offensive line is in flux, on top of that, the defense, well, we all know the defense has been horrible. And we've seen in the past what Eli Manning has done to the Packers when they had a decent defense. I don't think he's going to light them up, but he's going to do just enough to win that ball game in New York. So I hate to say it, but the Giants win 20-17.
20-17. All right. Well, thank you, Ray. Patrick, what's your thoughts on the outcome? Give me your score. Give me about 30 seconds, and give me your score and how it's going to play out.
Well, Davey, I am the eternal optimist, so I think the Packers are going to go into New Jersey, and I think they're going to squeak one out, 24-17. I think a victory in New Jersey would do a lot for this team's confidence, and really this game could save the season. If they pull out a victory, that's going to go a long ways for the confidence of the defense, long ways for the confidence of Scott Tolzien, and it could set the Packers up for success going forward. If they lose, then they still have a battle going forward.
Okay, Doug, wrap it up. Give me about 30 seconds. Give me your score, and what do you think is going to happen Sunday?
Well, this is one of those tough games that you just look at as a fan, and you have a hard time picking. You know, regardless of what people say, I think this could be one of the matchups to watch in the NFL this week because of what's on the line for these teams. I mean, Green Bay, believe it or not, if they do not win this game, really fall behind the eight ball. And I think Coach McCarthy gets these guys up ready to play. I think Scott Tolzien manages the game well. And I really think that they're going to have a tough time stopping Eddie Lacy. We have not had a bust-out game regardless of what people might think of his 2-touchdown performance earlier this year. But he has to have a big game, and I think he has it on Sunday. I think Eli Manning comes out and shows us why he is not the most consistent of quarterbacks in the NFL. I think our defense, I think we have to stay tall this weekend. We get a better Clay Matthews this weekend. You know, we get a little bit better cast on his arm. It allows him to do a few more things in the down, you know, in the down position. I think we stop the run. I really think the Packers go into New Jersey this weekend and win a tough, tough game. I think they win 17-13.
Wow. Couple of predictions for a Packer win. I like it. I like your thinking. Well, we'd like to thank you for listening to LombardiAd.com's The Packers Sports Channel or Ports Panel here on Blog Talk Radio. Be sure to catch us next Tuesday morning at 8:30 for another edition of the show. For Patrick Hughes and Fansided.com's Doug Eaton and our producer Ray Rivard, I'm Davey Miller. We'll talk to you again next Tuesday morning, and we'll talk about how the game went on Sunday. Have a great rest of your day, everybody. Goodbye. Thanks, everybody. Great job.
Hey,
yeah,
thanks,
Davey.
Thanks,
Davey.
Yeah, Doug and Patrick, you come back anytime you want. Well, Patrick, you're a regular now, right?
I am, yeah.
Okay, for Thursdays. Doug, come back anytime, buddy.
Sounds great, Davey. Thanks for having me. Go Pack.
All right,
hey,
we're signing off, guys.
I hope
Davey,
I'm
is there...
wrong. I hope you're wrong too, Ray.
All right. Have a good day, guys.
Have a good day, everybody.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye.